Custom Car Care.
All right, good morning and welcome. You've got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. Miss Sarah, how's the world treating you today?
Well, not very good. My car's in the shop.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. That's how I felt.
Let you down today, didn't it?
It did, but you know, it's okay. I know that it's in good hands, mm-hmm. and you'll get it all fixed up.
Darren is a magician? Would that be the right word?
Yes.
Probably. That sounds like my enunciation's not very good this morning, but he is amazing. He really is. Very, very fortunate.
Yeah.
So it is in great hands.
I told myself, you know what? I've got the extended warranty. I know that you guys mm-hmm. will fight for me, so yep. I don't have to. And whatever it is, it'll get taken care of. So
it's really awesome, you know, in people's careers. I don't know whether you've ever seen this, but, you know, sometimes like bosses, and I don't use that as a term that I enjoy. Sometimes, you know, people get insecure and they want to be the only one that's great at their job. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't feed the rest of the team around them because they're afraid for some reason, insecure, whatever you want to call it. If any of you out there have experienced this, you'll hopefully understand what I'm trying to say. I've never experienced that at A1. And it's so awesome to watch some of our advisors and managers, Annie and Kevin, especially at the Sunset store, to see how masterful they are at fighting for those extended warranties. They're so much better than I ever was at fighting with them. I can remember one that was trying to get me to put they were going to mail me like a used part.
Ugh.
And I was like, no. And I eventually told him, I said, who are you to tell me what kind of repair and parts is adequate on this car? What are your credentials, essentially? And they got real defensive, obviously. Well, you know, this is in the fine print and the blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I never was like the really smooth one. But to see Annie and Kevin deal with those extended warranty companies, they do such a good job. They cross the T's, dot the I's. I am so thankful, as well as Mike and Gunner and Macy and David. I mean, I've got an amazing group of folks that deal with those extended warranties. But my point being is my skill set is very technical, obviously. Nuts and bolts and electricity and scan tools and lab scopes. But just as important as that ever is the right people at the counter fighting on your behalf, essentially. So, super thankful that, you know, they can fight and, you know, the good fight, I guess. And,
yes, I like that they
shape.
Have to do it for me.
Yes.
Because that's such a hassle, you know?
It really is. And, you know, that's part of the reason that I get frustrated with, like, you know, everything you buy. You know, you get like a widget at the store and they're like, hey, for $399, we'll get your extended warranty, blah, blah, blah. But then when you deal with it, at least in my experience, and please weigh in if yours is different, it is so much work on your behalf.
It is.
It's like, forget that.
Yeah.
I'll go buy another one.
Yep. And that's how I feel. I don't even weigh in on those mm-hmm. extended warranties
no.
anymore. I just press no. I'm like, you know
yeah.
what? I paid $7 for this.
Exactly.
And I know that my time is worth way more than $7.
Oh, yeah.
I will just go and buy another one of whatever I'm buying.
Absolutely. On the flip side of it, you know, our folks are the ones fighting for, you know, that extended warranty in this instance, which I feel like is a much better approach for a couple of reasons. The extended warranty game is really a game. I mean, there are good ones and there are not good ones out there. And if you are not used to dealing with the, like, smoke and mirror side of extended warranties as just a normal consumer, they will absolutely run the tables on you and you'll be left with nothing and you've spent all that money on that extended warranty. However, with our folks at the counter, I won't say we deal with them daily, but definitely weekly. We're dealing with a lot of the, you know, how they want things worded, like jumping through the right hoops, emailing and faxing. Does anybody fax anymore? Or am I just like dating myself?
St. Clair County does.
St. Clair County. I'm glad to know. Well done, 1990 St. Clair County. But, you know, back in the, you know, the day when I was doing it, we faxed things back and forth. I'm sure now it's email. But, you know, my point being is you better walk the walk if you want your value out of that extended warranty. And if you pay for that extended warranty, you had better make it work for you because their whole job from that adjuster is to prevent you from spending as much as possible or as little, depending on which side of the coin you're on, because that's how they make their profit. If your extended warranty was $1,700, if they can only during that time spend $600 because of all the mumbo jumbo red tape, then they made $1,100 or whatever. I'm just, you know, kind of doing quick math here, but that's the whole thing. You need somebody fighting for you on your behalf that knows what they're doing in order to get them to pay their fair share. You think I'm asking too much? Am I asking over what an extended warranty company should do?
No, because especially the older that I get, the more I'm like, why does everything have to be such a hassle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why?
That's the thing that I love, and that as a company we have built into a lot of our processes. Is the automotive industry simple? No. I absolutely live, eat, and breathe this every day, and I continue to learn, and as a company we do, you know, every single day. So it's not simple. But to your point, the headache of life right now, when we do our extended warranty stuff, we do our warranty, if we do repairs on there, we are all the ambassador to those warranties. So I don't have to, like, go to somebody out of the country and be like, hey, is this covered? And then mess with all that. If we've worked on your car and we have offered or deemed whatever service to have whatever criteria warranty, that's our warranty. That's not a third party. That's not a, hey, we need to call Jim Bob and he's open from 11:30 to 1:30, 3 days a week. It's none of that. That's ours. Okay. And we fight and protect that tremendously hard. So if we have done the service, we are the person. And I tell a lot of people that, hey, you know, XYZ part was installed, taken care of, diagnosed, etc. For the next 3 years or 36,000 miles, that part is mine. And I tell them that, and they always a lot of times look at me like, what in the world is this guy talking about? Well, that's how I view it. You know, if we've done service for it and it deems a 3 year, 36,000 mile warranty on it, and you're local, I want to be the one taking care of that. That's mine. The ownership of that, I realize it's your vehicle, etc. I'm just the hopefully the person turning the nuts and bolts and figuring out what's wrong with it. But I do that because it frustrates me in life so much to go and deal with somebody else that doesn't see it the same way that we do. It just drives me just batty. I'll give you an instance. Had a great experience buying a tractor here locally. Did a fantastic job, but I did have some repair work that happened or failed under the factory warranty. I had a little bit of an understanding with them of what I do for a living. They actually allowed that I took care of the repair work, and then they furnished the parts, whatever their agreement was. And I was able to take care of that and keep that vehicle going. I didn't do it because I didn't have faith in them. They're great folks. Obviously, my skill set allows me to do that. And they were, I guess, open-minded enough to kind of see it my way that, hey, you're busy, you're booked out, I need this tractor taken care of. And so they were able to get me the parts that I needed. I did the service to it that I needed to put me right back on the job site, or I say job site, it's my DIY excavating project, I guess. But I love the fact that they were able to open-minded enough to allow me to do the service to it, furnish the things that I needed, even though it was all under warranty. I didn't mind putting in the wrench time. That's really something I still very much enjoy. I don't necessarily view that as a job too much. Is it work? Absolutely it is. But, you know, just mitigating a lot of the BS and the downtime. The older I get, the more I value the time more than I do sometimes even the money side of it. Now, time is money, of course, but I hate red tape. These, oh, you know, extended warranty this, blah, 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 that. Hey, here's this rebate, whatever. You know, in reality, my time is much better spent in other areas than chasing, you know, extreme couponing. And I will, I have a lot of admiration for people that extreme coupon. I don't know if it's such a big thing as it was, you know, maybe 6, 8, 10 years ago. But the folks that have the time, I mean, that they get paid pretty well in the savings that they get. But that just doesn't suit me very much. I would much rather spend my time diagnosing, fixing, repairing, and putting out a product that was as good, if not better, than when you bought the vehicle in the beginning. That really is, and I don't want to say like my superpower, like I'm full of myself or nothing, but all of us have a gift of some kind. Now, if your gift is online gaming and you never get out of a chair, well, okay, that's your gift. That's not me, okay? Nor do I have any aspirations for that. Nor do I have aspirations to be a TikTok wizard or some kind of Dance Dance Revolution. I realize at this point, you know, through my career, my life in general, you know, folks, you need to find something that you're interested in, you're good at, and really lean into it. And I'm very fortunate that since I was a little kid, I've always known what that was, and automotive repair has been it. And now that dream, or I guess that thought or that vision, has grown to where it's not necessarily just about me anymore. I'm surrounded by a bunch of folks that feel and love it just as much as I do. And man, is that a blessing. I'm so thankful for the folks that we've got taking care of business. But we're up against our first break. Sarah and I will be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right, welcome back. You've got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. We're having a little discussion off air. And Sarah, you got a little bit fired up over there.
I did.
You found some information from Ford. Is that who's the offender here?
Ford's doing radio wrong.
Goodness.
I know. Ford to drop AM radios from most new vehicles in 2024.
So I had a response that you were pretty passionate about. I said, who listens to AM? And you're like, a lot of people. We have an AM station, correct?
We do, yes.
And now that you say that, at one point in time, KSGF was down. I think it was a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to listen when I'm going down to Arkansas.
And did you listen to AM?
I did, actually. To your point, as I was being so callous to radio, I was able to pick up AM like nobody's business. Now, you, as being a radio aficionado, I think that'd be the right term, right?
Sure.
You are the all-knowing Sarah of the radio business.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I will say it. I'll put it out there. So tell me why AM is important and why this is such a travesty that Ford would even consider it.
So first, there's a ton of differences between AM and FM. I'm not going to bore you with all of the details, but there's a lot of differences from bandwidth to frequency. But the thing about AM is just simpler to detect and to run as well. Now, AM is a little bit noisier and it has poorer sound quality, but the good thing about AM is it takes a little more to disturb the frequency than it does FM. And a good example of that is whenever you are driving down to Branson and you have all of those big up and down hills and then your curves and all of that, and your FM typically breaks up while your AM stays a little bit more intact. Now, FM was created to overcome interference issues that AM faces, and FM does have better sound quality, but one of the most important things about radio that people tend to forget is our emergency alert system broadcast. We have an amazing broadcast system, from amber alerts to blue alerts to severe weather that you need to know about. Those are all things that are created on AM and FM radio. And to take that away from an entire population who listens to AM, or maybe they don't get good FM channels because of the frequency in their area, you're taking away an entire listening population if you just completely get rid of AM radio.
You also had a point, and I've known this, I think maybe I've heard you and Nick both speak of it. FM is a weaker signal than AM. It doesn't carry quite as far.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed that, like, I will pick up the AM signal way longer than I do the FM once I get outside of kind of, you know, Cassville. Once I reach Cassville, pretty much headed kind of south, I usually lose the FM signal. So why has FM kind of been the favorite, would you say?
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what I said earlier about probably just sound quality. FM just sounds a little bit better. It's a little bit more crisp. It's a little bit more clear. But the good thing about AM is, even though it has a little bit more poor sound quality, it is definitely a stronger signal. What's really cool about AM is whenever you have your transmitter,
mm-hmm.
you can power it up and down, and that signal can be very loud and clear, especially certain times of the year.
Okay.
If you don't power your your AM down, it can bleed over to other stations. In fact, whenever I worked at a different set of AM stations here in town, I had forgot to power down my transmitter. Now, most of, when I say power it down, they are now automatic, so they will do it automatically for you. But the station that I worked at, you actually had to dial it in. You had to tell it, you know, like what frequency that you wanted to dial it down to and that it would dial down. Mm. And then you'd have to power it up in the morning. So one time I had forgotten to power down my AM transmitter at this other station. And I got a call from, I think it was Huntsville, Alabama. And I know it was somewhere in Alabama, I'm pretty sure it was Huntsville. And it was a program director down there. And they had asked me, hey, can you please power down your transmitter? Because you are bleeding through. And every once in a while, things will happen here at the station. And we will actually get messages from different countries. Mm. And I think the last one that Nick received, I think it was Sweden or Norway, somewhere over there, where they were getting our AM signal. It was staticky, but you could very clearly hear the audio because they sent us a clip of it. Mm-hmm. And it said Springfield's Talk 104.1. And I mean, that's neat.
That really is. So I am obviously not as versed on the radio frequency side. I'm getting into some amateur, you know, CB radio. And I have been able to pick up, if the conditions are correct, you know, what they call rolling skip. And I'm assuming that's similar to what you're talking about with this AM signal being able to reach Norway or Alabama or Mississippi or, you know, really reach hundreds and hundreds of miles. Anybody that's out there on the CB Citizens Band radio that listens, sometimes I'll pick up people that are really pushing a lot of power from California, Tennessee. I think I've picked up some from up, you know, Indiana way, which is not tremendous, but that's hundreds of miles, if not thousands of miles, depending on where it's coming from. And I think that's pretty doggone cool. So having good commo is extremely important. So, Sarah, you mentioned something about emergency signals and broadcasts out there if things happen. Would you say it's even, and this is not something I normally do, I usually turn on, you know, the radio, and typically it's, KTTS, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. is usually one of the ones that I go to. Would you say that if things are going on and kind of crazy, should you be scanning those AM bands for some of the warnings, or would it potentially be a better way if, you know, you weren't picking up FM signals to at least give that a go?
So with our stations right now, because KTTS is our sister station, for those who don't know, one of the great things about all of our stations, whenever we are having emergency alerts, is they go out on all of our stations. Mm-hmm. KTTS completely overrides us whenever we're having severe weather. I'm sure that longtime listeners have probably heard that before. Mm-hmm. If our FM station, our towers are in different locations for all of our stations. Okay.
Redundancy. I love it.
Yes. So our towers are all over. And in fact, whenever you listen to the top of the hour, we are legally required to provide what our call letters are. So KSGF. And then we are legally required to tell you where our transmitter is at. And I always forget which tower is in which location because we have five stations here, mm-hmm. but we have, you know, one in Ashgrove, we have one in here in Springfield, we have one in Sparta, and just different locations.
Awesome.
So kind of that redundancy, it is important to have that AM component too, in case we ever lose a signal for our FM station. Okay. And I think that you mentioned earlier, whenever KSGF went down because we were having mm-hmm. transmitter issues and we were actually in the process of replacing our transmitter, that is where all of our information then went, was on our AM 1260 dial. So that's how listeners were still able to listen. That's how we were able to broadcast all of those emergency mm-hmm. alerts, severe weather, amber alerts, all of that stuff.
So does Ford have any legit, like, reason? And it's probably a cost saving that they save a half a nickel or something. They just basically said, hey, we're cutting the AM side.
So let me just read this article. Okay. to you because I've been kind of browsing it as we've been talking. So Ford Motor Company is preparing to remove AM radio in most of its new and updated 2024 models, the report says, despite concerns from U.S. officials over Americans losing access to safety alerts broadcast over the airwaves. Mm-hmm. That is my point. Ford spokesman Wes Sherwood confirmed the development in a statement to the Detroit Free Press. We are transitioning from AM radio for most new and updated 2024 models, he said. A majority of U.S. AM stations, as well as a number of countries and automakers globally, are modernizing radio by offering internet streaming through mobile apps, FM, digital, and satellite radio options. I don't believe that digital and satellite offer those emergency alert broadcasts. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have digital or satellite.
I don't either.
I don't.
So if there is a listener out there, and you do, if you want to send us some feedback, that would be great.
Ford will continue to offer these alternatives for customers to hear their favorite AM radio music, news, and podcast as we remove amplitude modulation and definition of AM in this case from most new and updated models we bring to the market, he added, noting that commercial vehicles will still retain AM radio features because of contract language. Fox Business has reached out to Ford for further comment. That was a tongue twister. Last year, Ford said it was going to remove AM radio from its 2023 model year F-150 Lightning electric trucks, as the frequencies involved in AM radio tend to be directly affected by the electromagnetic noise in EV propulsion systems.
So I need to weigh in on this.
Okay.
Are you kidding me that this has come down to the green weenies?
They're like, oh, yeah, that's going to mess with our EV, but if there's an Amber Alert, you don't need that.
So I will tell you that, like, back, like, years ago, when people listened to AM radio, if you had electronic noise, such as a ignition-related issue, it would backfeed, and you would get this, like, squeal that would rev up and down in the radio from the ignition system bleeding into the electrical
yes.
system. So I can definitely, I'm sure what they're saying is right, but the fact that it comes down to all of this green initiative that they are cramming down everybody's gullet, it just blows me away that that is how they're hanging their hat on it, that it's going to interfere with the electric motors and the drives. And I'm sure they're right. They make filters that you can put on there that will filter that electric motor noise or the ignition noise out. But it hasn't been an issue in so many years. I barely was even trained on this philosophy when I was going through my vocational training. But the fact that their Ford EV electric Lightning just really, like, really, guys, you're making a mountain out of a molehill with these EV vehicles. And I'm not anti-EV, but you shouldn't change the whole world just because you're trying to push this green initiative.
This is a really good quote. This is from Craig Fugate. He's the leader of FEMA. He was leader of FEMA during the Obama administration. When all else fails, radio stations are often the last line of communications that communities have. Which,
yeah.
I mean, if you think about, like, the Joplin tornado, mm-hmm. whenever we had the ice storm.
Yes.
Those were, radio was huge.
Huge.
Broadcast AM radio is an essential part of our emergency alert infrastructure, but the responses to the letter showing that we may remove AM radio, far too many automakers are ignoring that critical safety benefit.
Mm-hmm. And as always, the consumer is going to end up with the short end of that deal. So I'd love to hear what you guys think about this. To me, it really touches a button. I didn't realize how much until Sarah brought it up. So thank you for that. We're going to step into a break. We'll be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. Miss Sarah, I would like to talk about our trades, and specifically, we have a very good trade school here in the Springfield.
We do. I should be the spokesperson for the school.
Seriously, if OTC, you're out there, you need to talk to Sarah.
I know. I will always boast you up.
So we're going to do something this week that, or yeah, I guess we did something this week that is pretty cool. I've had the opportunity to do this for, I can't remember, probably 5 to 7 years. But we get something called a power panel together. And mm-hmm. so it's other shops, not just A1 Custom Car Care, independent shops, some of our parts stores get involved. And they bring the automotive technicians into a banquet, I guess would be the way to put it. We serve dinner. We have anywhere from 4 to 8 people on the panel. Some of them will be mechanics. Some will be service advisors, owners, parts professionals, pretty much all of the gamut for the automotive industry. And this is how we are trying to give back and reinvest in our trades folks that are coming out of a local vocational trade school. So my role, which has been super cool to be able to do, is I typically MC the night. So I'm the one kind of hopefully being able to hold the room, ask questions, you know, get questions from the audience, keep whoever's supposed to be answering those questions flowing, keep it interesting. And if I do a good job, it typically goes over well. And knock on wood, I think it's gone pretty well. They asked me back to do it again this year, which has been phenomenal. And I take that as a huge compliment. But here is the coolest thing about the night. And I think we started this maybe 10 years ago. But we get some of our local vendors here together. And we actually put together, I think we started with 2 originally. We're up to 4. But we do 4 toolkits that we raffle off during the evening. So
that's
as the students come in, they get a raffle ticket and they sit down. And then to foster them to be interactive, because it's their night, if you're interactive, we will toss you or, you know, slide you another ticket or two, which are all additional entries in the tool raffle or tool giveaway. So at the end of the night, everybody stays till the end. We do all of our questions. We have a little bit of a good supper with everybody, have a good discussion, and then we will raffle off those starter toolkits. So as you're getting into a profession that requires you to have an investment in your tools, equipment, and training, OTC does a fantastic job with their vocational training. I've taken classes there personally and been very happy for it. Sarah, I believe that you have as well.
Yep. I was a Votech student, and then I went there for about a semester afterwards.
Nice.
And got my associate's degree by age 18.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that a lot of kids... Was your school an A-plus school by chance?
Yes.
Okay.
So I think I went to OTC back in the day for like $300,
oh,
and that
man.
Was just for books.
That's fantastic.
And then I decided to be stupid and then go back to school to have that good old student loan debt.
Yeah, the student loan debt.
I know.
It's one of those things. However, I see the vocational side of things, and I'm not knocking prestigious schools out there, if you will. But right now, folks that have a skilled trade, such as here, we're sitting here in a studio, you know what, all that stuff's going on. I see you work in the traffic from time to time, making sure everything's in good shape. You've trained me that if something happens, is there still a red button over there?
There isn't.
You took the red button away?
I know, yes.
Oh, my.
I'll show you.
For years, that was the thing. If something happens to Sarah, you push the red button, and that keeps us on the air.
Well, I'll show you. I'll show you what to press.
But I'm so thankful you have these skills and trades to make sure that, you know, as we're doing the show, you know, something comes up, whatever, if we're not sounding right, blah, 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 you work your magic over there. And that all come from, you know, schooling, education,
yep.
training. Versus folks that go in for, you know, underwater basket weaving or whatever goofy degrees that they have out there. And then they get out and they're working as a barista at Starbucks. And I'm not throwing any stones. The baristas at Starbucks work their butts off. I do not really go to Starbucks, but occasionally I will stop and pick up some Starbucks for some of my loved ones that enjoy partaking in that. But, you know, you go and you have all this student loan debt, and then you're not even working in the field that you paid to be educated in. That, to me, is just a tragedy. So what we do with the kids, hopefully, is we get them in front of some folks that are successful in the industry first. And then they can ask questions, how to interview, what do I need, what kind of money do I think I can make. Now, we have to be careful. There are some laws that I got to make sure as the MC that we're not, you know, getting ourselves out there. So I watch and protect that pretty good. But typically it's 2 or 3 hours, depending on the folks and how interactive they are. The more interactive they get into the drawing for the tools. So as they get out, now they also know some people in the industry, or at least familiar, that when they go into interview or they're interested, hey, I like transmissions. So I met this person who specializes in transmissions, or I want to be a parts professional or service advisor, or I want to, you know, some of our folks that you meet in the stores have been folks that I've been doing it enough years that they're like, hey, I saw you, and I don't remember, obviously, because there's anywhere from 50 to 70 students typically. I saw you MC that, blah, 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 at one point in time, and I really thought that, you know, you guys had a good thing going on with the culture of the company, and they felt comfortable coming in to interview. So it gets us out in front of some of the next folks that are going to be answering your questions, fighting for your extended warranty, diagnosing and doing your repairs. So I really enjoy being hopefully able to help them get into what's been a great trade and field for me to be in personally. So did they do anything for you along these lines, or did they give you any connection while you were going to school in radio?
So whenever I went to school, all of my professors either had worked in the field or they like worked closely with it. So my photographer teacher was actually a professional photographer.
Nice.
My studio and TV production professor, she actually used to work for one of the TV stations in town, and then she transitioned into being a professor.
Okay.
So they all worked in their field. It wasn't somebody who had a degree in that study and never worked in that field and then taught.
Did you see that be valuable? Could you see the difference?
Because I actually had real life questions and situations.
Ah.
And instead of having to be like, okay, well, it's on page 52,
yeah,
they were like, okay, no, I've actually been in this situation.
Yeah.
So here's how you do it. And I can relate to that now, because whenever I went to my other school, I had a radio class that I took. I didn't need to take it, but I had to have like, you know, like 5 hours of extracurricular activities or whatever. So I was like, okay, I'll take the radio class. And the professor had never worked a day in his life in radio. In fact, I knew more about radio than the professor that was teaching that $700 class knew. And by the time that I was over the class, he asked me, would you be program director? Because he was program director of this. Of this station. And I said, I don't have time. I work full time at a radio station.
Yeah, that just infuriates me, unfortunately.
It was also very infuriating for me, too, because he would answer questions that students had.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I understand why you're giving that answer, but that is not a real life scenario.
Yeah.
But I have had a lot of really great professors. When I studied criminology, we're getting off on a tangent here.
Let's do
it. When I studied criminology, I actually had a professor who was an active Springfield police officer.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
He was fantastic because he would read the book and we'd go over the lectures, and then he'd be like, that's not right. And like halfway through class, he'd read it and be like, that's not right. And then he would explain why, in his training and experience, why that thing would not be right.
Absolutely.
And I respected that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's more real life, hands-on, and I like that type of learning.
So I'm going to open a can of worms here. I feel like, and maybe I'm the only one out there, that the common sense, like, grassroots information is being lost.
Oh, absolutely.
And having an instructor like that, that's got real world, and we'll just call BS on this XYZ, is so valuable. That class I see worth its cost. You know, we all trade time for dollars, most of us. And if I'm going to give dollars for somebody to teach me something, it better at least pay for the amount that, you know, it costs. And then give me a return on investment for the rest of my life, hopefully. That's the mindset I have. And the fact that, you know, those skills, because everybody's been sitting at home or on a digital metaverse or universe or whatever in the world you want to call it, is a real shame. And those life hard-fought lessons are going to be gone. But silver lining, whoever keeps up with it and really embraces it are going to be able to write their own ticket, but you're going to be able to have the skills that pay the bills. So we're going to step into a break. We're going to wrap this thing up in a bow right after this.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah and Dustin. A1 Custom Car Care. I guess we're taking it a little bit different line. If any of you out there in a skilled trades profession, I'd like to know kind of what your take is of whether there's an abundance of new folks coming into your trade, etc. But Sarah, I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute.
Okay.
I have, I guess, it wasn't intentional. It's not that I don't work on cars. I still very much do on a, if not a daily basis, most days anyway. But it has shifted over the last couple of years to where I'm still working on cars, but I'm doing it in more of a overseer role at this point to where I am trying to teach in the service bays. And so like custom exhaust is something that we take a lot of pride in. I don't have a ton of guys. You know, when I started with the company, probably 03 to 05, somewhere in there, we had the absolute top shelf exhaust professionals that I could have ever asked to be an apprentice under. And so when they hired me in, that was part of my deal, was to learn how to do custom exhaust. That's not something that I feel like you could ever learn by watching videos or learn it in a book. You got to get in there and do it. Sometimes it's very infuriating. I've said many four-letter words from time to time while I'm doing it. And then I can remember the car. I remember the car, I remember the day to where I could finally envision what I needed that pipe to do and be able to walk over to the bender and fabricate it. I remember the moment that I finally could see it. I know maybe that sounds crazy. That's okay. I'm a little crazy. My point with this whole deal is a couple of days a week, I actually drive down to our Arkansas market and I do it here in the Missouri market. I'm teaching a lot of the younger guys how to do it. So the shoe's on the other foot. I was the kid learning a few years back, or many years back at this point. Just because you can do does not mean you can teach. That's a whole nother skill set. And I'm not saying I'm great at it. I am having this awareness that in order for us to continue being, you know, on the cutting edge of the automotive industry, I can't fix all the cars. I need to pass on those skills kind of to what we started out. I have zero concern that somebody's going to be a better exhaust tech than me. I pray to God that we have folks way better than I am, because that's how we service all the folks that choose to come in. So here's where I'm putting you on the spot. You are clearly, and I'm not just trying to like tell you how awesome you are, you're darn good at what you do.
Thank you.
Would you ever consider teaching the next generation coming through?
So I have taught quite a few different people who are interested in the radio industry.
Ah.
In fact, my little predecessor, the Katie, who just became an American citizen, I taught her.
That's so cool.
I know. I take a lot of pride in being the one who taught her.
She's very good at what she does.
She really is. But I have taught quite a few people. We have a lot of interns that come through, and I really enjoy working with people who are not in the industry, but they have kind of an interest or maybe a passion for it, because it reminds me of when I first got started in the industry and why I fell in love with it.
Does it kind of rekindle that fire in you a little
bit? It does. In fact, just talking about it just made me like, whoom.
That is so awesome. I have gotten to actually see you do this from time to time. If I am not mistaken, you had a couple of folks in at one point in time, and it was very clear that Katie took this way serious.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't just fun and games and, oh, I had a long night, I'm going to nap over there. Like, she was engaged. And it clearly shows, you know, obviously I've listened to her, you know, when I'm out and about and she happens to be on whatever station that I'm listening to. She does a very good job. And so to remember, I think that was probably one of her first kind of sessions that we had in here when we were producing the show back in the day. And she's taken it and run with it. So really awesome. Would you ever kind of up your ante on that? And could you see yourself being a professor, or, you know, getting in and teaching? I don't recall what OTC does, but I'm assuming they have some folks. You know, I realize, you know, you haven't been doing this forever, but at some point in time, could you see, you know, in 10 years, maybe, you know, maybe not getting out of this altogether, but stepping into a formal training
room. Maybe. We've actually had radio DJs in the past teach.
Uh-huh.
We had Julie, who was on KTTS for, oh gosh, forever.
Yeah.
And then she moved out to California. And
oh, poor,
she,
poor
yes.
Hopefully she's doing well.
I think she is. I think she's doing good. But she went for social media stuff and marketing and all that. So that was really kind of her forte out there.
I see.
But she ended up teaching. I think she taught like podcasting and things like that. And she really, really enjoyed it. And she was able to fit it in. She was like a part-time professor over at OTC.
Nice.
Yeah. So maybe at some point when life slows down a little.
I can definitely hear you on that one, because holy cow, is it not speeding up and speeding up?
It is. I got a lot on my plate.
It's like the race to the end at some point in time. It's like we're going to hit the wall someday.
That's how I feel. Yep, I'm the same boat.
Yeah, and I don't know that it always felt that way. Like, I don't remember my parents being near as like busy as I see most professional adults at this point. It seemed like it was a little bit slower. Of course, that was the 80s and, you know, the 90s back then. But I didn't see him putting in like 80-hour weeks and getting up at 5 in the morning and coming to work and dealing with all that stuff. So maybe it'll slow back down one of these days at the rat race, I suppose. I think you would make an excellent teacher. You do make an excellent teacher.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I think that would be valuable. And it's easy, and I talk to a lot of business owners out, you know, throughout whatever, and everybody's singing the same kind of old tune that, you know, the right person, if you will, is so hard to find. Like, and thankfully, you know, I think about when I was hired at A1 back in the very early 2000s. I need to look that up and see exactly when that was. But the company had a mindset, and the reason they hired me was to learn and grow from their 30 and 40 year veteran, I mean, top of their class folks. Had I not come to a company, and I had 4 other companies I interviewed with, had a job offer at all of them, they were the only one that was really like super duper, hey, we need to build our next technicians, if you will. And so I'm very thankful, and the company still has this mindset to this day, that we are continuously evolving, growing, and essentially steel sharpens steel. So we are sharpening our skills every single day. And again, there's folks that come in, and because we do the show and et cetera, they're like, hey, I want Dustin to be the one to take care of XYZ. And sometimes I am the right tool for that job, or I will attach myself to some of the folks in the shop and work with the problems or work through the problems with them. But there are times that it's in their best interest for me to refer them to somebody that is better equipped, focused, and trained on certain makes and models or repairs than I am, which is awesome. It is so doggone cool to be a part of something like that and have a multitude of skills, as well as continuously trying to build and pass it on or back or reinvest in the next folks coming through. That's a huge deal. And if you're not part of something, if you're a young man or a young lady out there and you're working with or for somebody, you had better make sure that they are looking to invest and continue to grow and get better, because if they're not, they're going to be put out of business. The folks that are really pushing the envelope, even as the velocity of money slows down, even as we, you know, continue to have some economic struggles, the valuable people that are in that top, you know, like 2-3% that are really bringing value, whatever that is, if you're a ditch digger, if you shovel manure, whatever it is, the people that are really bringing the value, as well as the skilled tradesmen and women, that's really where you're still going to do well, even if things get hard. So I think that's
a good way to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Well, if you are out there in Radio Land, you have a question or comment for us, you can shoot us a text on our text line. That phone number is 417-447-5743, or you can reach out to us on our social media at 1041 KSGF. Dustin, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
You as well. Be safe.
Bye.